All right, good morning. Let's come to order and go on the record, please. I'm Charlotte Mitchell, the Chair of the Utilities Commission, and with me this morning are the following commissioners. When I call your name, please announce your presence. Commissioner Brown Bland.
Here.
Commissioner Gray.
Here.
Commissioner Clodfelter. All right, Commissioner Clodfelter's here. Commissioner Duffley.
Here.
Commissioner Hughes.
Here.
And Commissioner McKissick.
Here.
All right, in compliance with the State Government Ethics Act, I remind members of the commission of their duty to avoid conflicts of interest and inquire at this time whether any member of the commissioner has a known conflict of interest with respect to matters coming before us this morning. The record will reflect that no conflicts have been identified, so we will proceed with public staff, natural gas, item P1. Mr. Gilbert, I believe we are with you.
Yes, thanks. Good morning. My name's Jeff Gilbert. I'm with the Public Staff Energy Division. Natural gas, item P1, is docket number G5, sub 628. It's an application of Public Service Company of North Carolina Incorporated for the biannual adjustment of rates under Rider E to its tariff on February 15th, 2021, pursuant to North Carolina General Statute 62-133.7A. And Rider E of the company's tariffs, PSNC filed an application requesting authority to implement new temporary increments to its rates as displayed in the attached table, and they will be effective March 1st, 2021. The public staff would like to make a small correction to the commercial customer rate case volumes from 154,775,485 to 154,775,495 therms in the attached table for the agenda and order. This small 10 therm difference does not affect the recommended rate in any way, and a revised proposed order will be provided to the commission staff. The public staff has reviewed the application and recommends approval as filed. Thank you.
Move approval of the recommendation.
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded that the item be approved as recommended by the public staff. Are there any questions? Is there any discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the roll for a vote. Indicate your support for the motion with an aye and your opposition with a no. Commissioner Brown Bland.
Aye.
Commissioner Gray.
Aye.
Commissioner Clodfelter.
Aye.
Commissioner Duffley.
Aye.
Commissioner Hughes.
Aye.
Commissioner McKissick.
Aye.
And for the record, I support the motion as well, and the motion carries. All right, thank you, Mr. Gilbert. We'll proceed now to public staff, electric item P1. Mr. Lawrence, we're with you.
Good morning. I'm Evan Lawrence with the Public Staff's Energy Division. Electric item P1 is an application for a certificate of public convenience and necessity to construct a 300 kilowatt liquid propane fueled electric generating facility. This was filed by Wake Electric Membership Corporation. Wake EMC plans to interconnect the proposed facility to its own electric system and sell the electricity to its own customers. The facility will be used as an emergency backup power source for the community that it is located in. The public staff recommends that the commission issue the proposed order.
Move approval of the recommendation.
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded that the item be approved as recommended by the public staff. Are there any questions or is there any discussion? Okay, hearing none, I'll call the roll for a vote. Indicate your support with an aye and your opposition with a no. Commissioner Brown Bland.
Aye.
Commissioner Gray.
Aye.
Commissioner Clodfelter.
Aye.
Commissioner Duffley.
Aye.
Commissioner Hughes.
Aye.
Commissioner McKissick.
Aye.
And for the record, I support the motion as well, and the motion carries. All right, we will proceed to public staff, electric item P2. Mr. Lawrence, I think we're still with you.
Yes. Electric item P2 is an application for an amended CPCN filed by Two Hearted Solar LLC for construction of a 22 megawatt solar PV generating facility. With the request for the amended CPCN, there was also a registration statement for the registration of a new renewable energy facility filed. The public staff recommends that the commission issue the amended certificate and accept the registration statement.
I move approval of the recommendation.
I second it.
All right, it's been moved and seconded that the item be approved as recommended by the public staff. Are there any questions or is there any discussion? All right, one last time with a roll call for the vote. Indicate your support for the motion with an aye and your opposition with a no. Commissioner Brown Bland.
Aye.
Commissioner Gray.
Aye.
Commissioner Klotfelter.
Aye.
Commissioner Duffley.
Aye.
Commissioner Hughes.
Aye.
Commissioner McKissick.
Aye.
And for the record, I support the motion as well, and the motion carries. All right, thank you, Mr. Lawrence. All right, the commission has before it its minutes of February 15th, 2021 staff conference for approval.
Move approval.
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded that our minutes from February 15th, 2021 staff conference be approved. Any questions or discussion? All right, all in favor of approving the minutes, indicate with an aye.
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 Anyone opposed? All right, our minutes of February 15th, 2021 are approved. All right, at this point in the agenda, we will hear from Aqua North Carolina and Carolina Water Service of North Carolina. We have been notified of several utilities of concerns and regarding delays experienced in service being provided by the U.S. Postal Service, so that we may be fully apprised of the situation. We've asked the utilities to be here this morning to update us. Ms. Sanford, I see you on the screen. I will ask you to proceed, and you may ask whomever to speak once I hand it over to you. All right, Ms. Sanford, you may proceed.
Thank you, Chair Mitchell and members of the commission. We appreciate the opportunity to speak to this issue, and I know that Shannon has raised this issue on behalf of Aqua by way of sending a note to you. This morning, we have Shannon Becker and Don Denton, who are respectively the state presidents of Aqua and Carolina Water. Happily, the news from Carolina Water is going to be that they have had very little incidents and not enough to rise to the level of concern about this. Mr. Denton will speak to that. Shannon will speak to Aqua's experience. And I think my takeaway, just as an initial item, is that this experience is really going to vary company to company, place to place. But the happy news from both of these companies is that they are both paying particular attention to it and are pleased to be before you today. So with that, I will turn it over to Mr. Becker. Shannon, are you
for a minute? Well,
okay.
I'm on. I'm just getting my technology ready to go here. I thought I was ready, and then I realized I was on mute, and I couldn't find my mute anymore. Okay. Can you see my presentation?
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Chair Mitchell, and members of the commission for inviting us here to share the experience, this recent unexpected experience with the U.S. Postal Service delays. My experience appears to have been significantly different than Carolina Waters, as Don will share, but I did put together just a few notable slides here to highlight what our experience was. So right around December 28th, 29th, we started experiencing heightened call volume in our call centers. And what you have in front of you is a summary of the change in call volume state by state for each of these various weeks presented here throughout January. You'll see there in the middle, or just towards the top there, North Carolina, we had 77, 39, 130%, and then 49% increase in our call volume over prior years, similar weeks. So it was a significant change across the board. And you can see that's the case with a lot of the states too. Now, the variances there is dependent on the number of billings and records that are sent out in December, which is why you see these volumes spike. Each of the states have different delivery times of their billings, so you'll get peaks and valleys across different weeks throughout the month. And just as a quick summary here, as a result of the USPS delays, which we don't exactly know the reason for, we've heard about them, I think, all in the news. It really started throughout December, and as a result of the holidays and the heightened mail and delivery and shipping of cards and presents through that time, I think. But we received 7 complaints, 4 through the public staff, 2 to the Attorney General's office, and 1 through the Better Business Bureau that was related to these delays. And in particular, they're related to folks not getting their bill on time. You know, they were expecting a bill, so they called because the due date was coming or approaching and they knew it. Their payments may not have been posting. So there was basically the increased volume was directly related to bills not being received or payments not being posted. So this is kind of the interesting slide here, where the blue lines represent the total records that were shipped out of our corporate offices in Bryn Mawr. Bryn Mawr processes all the billings for all the states in a consolidated fashion for all the states. So here we see the volumes by day of how much gets shipped out at various times throughout the month. And it depends on when the read rates are and when the billing cycles actually fall. But you can see right here, starting with December, you know, the volume of our bill records that are being sent out are pretty high in a couple of these days. Yet this orange line represents what we call the fight. It's a scan date. And we use our third party vendor who does the printing for all of our bills. They track this with the US Postal Service, so they know when it's received versus when it's delivered. And you can see at the peak here, they had almost a 40-day delay from the time it was shipped. So they were estimating that these records printed on the 9th or the 10th here, it took somewhere between 30 and 40 days to deliver them, which was kind of the meat of what initiated the actions that we saw in the increased call volume. We understand that the USPS delays were pervasive, but some areas obviously were hit harder. The Philadelphia area, which is what our records go through, that mailing depository, they were significantly impacted because there were very heavy volume getting from that Northeast corridor to distributing it across the United States. And what we ended up doing to help alleviate that once we recognized this was we started rerouting our mail to not go through Philadelphia to try to temper the delays in the bills and bill payments. So this schedule here shows the records that are billed physically through the US Postal Service. I added this slide here because it shows that about 46% of our customers in North Carolina, this is North Carolina specific metric, are on electric bill or electronic billing. So they are going to continue to get their bills on time, and there shouldn't be a problem with that. Anybody who pays electronically would not have experienced these delays either. So I just thought that this was an interesting metric. We are much higher than the Aqua consolidated average e-bill density. And once this started happening in early January, we immediately put some posting up onto our auto messages as well as on our website, asking people to go to the website to view their bills. They could pay electronically. And I have a slide down here that'll show the other actions that we did, but we did encourage for people to sign up for electronic billing. We had another 2,000 customers sign up in January, likely as a result of calling in and wanting to make sure that they got their bills on time. So with regards to the actions, I mentioned we found this out. It started trailing up around December 28th. That first week of January is when we realized this volume was very, very high. We mobilized additional resources to assist with call volume. In fact, we used some of the backups that we trained to support the call volume that we were anticipating from all the COVID moratorium lifts. We additionally waived any December, January late fees. This was not actually an issue for North Carolina since we do not have, we're still under a moratorium for late fees, but for all the other states, we waived late fees where applicable. We also waived credit card fees where that was applicable and people were paying online with credit cards. And then again, we encouraged signing up for electronic bill pay and auto pay. On January 7th, when this was brought to my attention, I think it was brought to my attention late on the 5th, so really the 6th, I halted all disconnects shut off for non-pays. So people that have been delinquent for a period of time that goes through our notification process. I halted that on January 7th. And then I think I sent an email out to the commission informing of the U.S. Postal Service delays on the 8th. As a company, we also, because again, this affected all the states, not just North Carolina, we suspended the delinquency activities, so no shutoff notices would be generated. So the shutoff notices are a direct result of delinquency and payment after a verification, I'm sorry, after a period of time. They're sent out notices, they're called, and then they're given a period of time to actually pay the bill. And then once that period of time expires, we will issue shutoff notices. We suspended the issuance of those, and then we canceled all open shutoff notices for all states. So any open shutoff notice, we actually went ahead and canceled it, so they have to go through the process again before we reinitiated our collection activities. Oop. It looks like the information, or sorry, the volume really dissipated towards the end of January. And once we felt comfortable that we were back to normal call volumes, we reinstated our delinquency process starting on the 5th of February. I'll be happy to answer any questions if anybody has any.
All right, thank you, Mr. Becker. Questions for Mr. Becker from commissioners?
Yes, Chair Mitchell, I have questions, but I'm not finding my little, oh, I see my little hand thing, I think.
All right, anyway. Let's proceed, Commissioner Brown Bland.
Thank you, Mr. Becker. I wanted to commend you and thank you for being able to be available on a short notice to us. First, I want to commend Aqua for bringing this matter to our attention. As you've indicated, U.S. Mail across the nation is going through some sort of changes that's impacting the flow of mail. And so one of the reasons for having you come and speak to us about it is we want to maintain an awareness over this issue and ask that you and your company and the other utilities that I see out in the audience continue to watch and be aware of this and bring to our attention should you see any need that any practices that we maintain or that you as companies maintain need to be modified to accommodate, you know, a lengthier time for mail delivery. It's a two-way issue, your bills going out and your payments coming back. We understand that a lot of progress has been made in the e-payment area, but we also have a fair number of customers across the state who I'm sure still make their payments by mail. So we just want to monitor and watch and be sure that it is an issue that's been flagged for you all as well as for us. If you come to think that our expectations around mail delivery need to change and whether or not we need to build that into any of our rules, you know, with regard to any required notices, payments, timing of other notices or disconnects, that sort of thing, we trust and hope and request that you would bring that to our attention should you come to have that viewpoint. I did have a question about one of your slides. You mentioned that the 46% number with regard to e-payment is, I understood you to say that was the 46% of the total billings here in North Carolina, that the 46% pay by mail, or did you mean that that we were 46% higher than the average across Essential?
Yeah, good question, clarifying question. It's how many customers are on e-bill? Where the Aqua average, I believe, is, and I don't know exactly, but somewhere around 30 to 32%. Ours is much higher, but this is the percentage of our customers that are actually on e-bill. The auto pay customers and the electronic pay customers may be different. I don't have that metric here.
All right. Again, thank you for your willingness to come and let us see what you see from your perspective. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Additional questions for Mr. Becker? Commissioners, if you have questions, just let me know, because I'm unable to see hands raised at this point.
Madam Chair, I did have a question, Mr. Becker.
All right, Commissioner McKissick, proceed.
Yeah, Mr. Becker, is it your intentions at any point in time to take this up with the members of Congress or those that have more direct oversight over the U.S. postal system, or to seek any type of redress of these issues and problems that are being experienced, being experienced nationally, not just here in North Carolina, I mean, are directly with the U.S. Postal Service?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Commissioner McKissick, for the question. At this time, we're anticipating that this was a little bit of a unique anomaly. I apologize for the background. If you could look back at this, at the graph here, I don't think we've really experienced this kind of situation in the past. So at this point in time, we're not really looking at taking it any further. The scan rates came down. You can see they peaked. It's really just in December during the holiday volume is what it appears. What we've learned from this is that we'll be monitoring this closer. We've never really had to look at this in the past. We've never had this kind of issues or these kind of issues. But the scan rate has dropped back down to its normal level going forward. It's taught us to be a little bit more alert. We have not experienced this in the past, so we'll be looking at this during a high volume, probably during the year-end holidays, a lot closer. So we'll be ready to react a little bit quicker as well. And that might entail several changes to our internal processes about extending the SONP, the shutoff non-pay process, and just the delinquency process in general. But at this time, we're not looking at elevating it to the federal level.
Thank you.
All right. Additional questions for Mr. Becker? All right. I'm not hearing any from remaining commissioners. Mr. Becker, I do have one for you. Have you all seen any material change to that 46% since you have initiated notices to your customers about these problems? In other words, has there been an uptick in or conversion of folks who are customers who are receiving hard copy bill to electronic bill?
Yes. Well, and that's what the 2000 was for. It's about a 5% uptick just in January. No, that's okay. This is directly related to that. I would love to see a much higher. I'm surprised actually that we're as low as we are with given the current technologies, but I am assuming that we will be doing a push to get more electronic billing online going forward, just to address or help address or minimize the problems that can result as a result of external instances that we're not able to control.
Okay. All right. Anything else for Mr. Becker before we hear from Mr. Denton? All right, Mr. Becker, thank you again for your time this morning. We appreciate this update, and we appreciate the opportunity to remain apprised of this situation and want to hear from you if these problems persist and you all feel that we need to take action with respect to our rules or otherwise. All right, Ms. Sanford, I'll turn it back over to you.
Thank you very much, Chair Mitchell and members of the commission. We appreciate the questions. And as Mr. Denton prepares to speak briefly to you, I will note that he is in his, I've lost count, 35th, 37th week of almost weekly reports to the commission over this very extended period of time. This issue and any others about which the commission has interest can be the subject of those ongoing conversations. And with this issue being a little more front and center now, you can expect that the company will continue to look at it and will keep you apprised of any information. Plus, if there are any specific issues that the commission has or questions after this meeting, of course, both companies will be glad to address them. So with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Denton.
Well, Thank you, Joanne. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Unlike Aqua, Carolina's Water Service has not seen or did not see a large uptick in the December-January timeframe. We did have a small number of customers that called into our customer experience team. And the company Corix took a proactive move after seeing some of that and seeing the other utilities that were having trouble with USPS, sent out an email to our customer base, reminding them to look for the bills, to quite frankly, plan ahead if possible, and or to sign up for the e-bill and to call us if there was any issues. Our third party bill provider is out of the Midwest, not out of the Northeast, and they actually have what's called a detached mail unit or a DMU in their facility. So all of the outbound mail is inspected in their facility before going out. Those are USPS workers in their offices. And so we quite frankly have not seen that uptick. Now, I will say that our e-bill is significantly lower than Aqua's. We're at 28% currently. We're continuing to work to try and get that number up, but we are watching and through our customer experience team, watching very closely, listening to our customers. And if there is an uptick, we're prepared to make similar moves to what Aqua's done.
All right, thank you, Mr. Denton, for that update. And I will tell you, I made note last week of the fact that you had submitted your 36th report to us on COVID-related impacts the company's been experiencing. So I want to express to you our appreciation for your keeping us apprised and updated as we continue to deal with this crisis. So thank you for that. All right, questions for Mr. Denton from the commissioners.
Yes, Chair Mitchell.
All right, Commissioner Brown Bland.
More to Mr. Denton. Thank you as well for making the time to be with us this morning at our request. It's a good thing that Carolina Water hasn't experienced an issue up to this point. I just have a general question as to whether before either becoming aware of Aqua situation or before getting this request from the commission, was this an item, this watching the mail, is this something that was on your company's radar to be on the lookout for?
Well, thank you for the question. Yes, we actually were looking at the other utilities and reading the issues that they were having. We proactively pulled together, like I said, an email that went out to our customer base saying we understand that other utilities are having these troubles. If you start to see this, let us know. Go ahead and sign up for e-bill if possible. Again, it was a push to also get the e-bill numbers up. But yes, so we've been watching it very closely.
Very good. And so, as I indicated before, you know, part of our purpose here is just to make sure that it is flagged as an issue and that it remains something that we look at. I don't see this as something that's particularly COVID related. It is just about mail service and its impact on your operations. So we certainly want to help in that regard, and we appreciate not only coming now, but also those reports that you make. It's been very informative and appreciated that you take the time to do those and keep us informed. So again, thank you.
Thank you.
I have no other questions.
Okay, additional questions for Mr. Denton.
Madam Chair, I do have one question.
All right, Commissioner McKissick.
Yeah, I'm just curious, since there's really been no noticeable difference, have the two companies determined where the central point of dispatch is for your mail, determine if you're going through the same centralized mail distribution office? And if that potentially could be where the delays are occurring, because you're using and dispatching mail from different destinations that go through different distribution centers. I mean, that would appear to me to be the point where something has not worked as it has normally worked in the past. But have there been those discussions? Because that's what would appear to me to be perhaps the point where things may be not working as they should.
Well, thank you for the question, Commissioner. We haven't directly talked to Aqua about their distribution location, but I know that he mentioned earlier, Shannon mentioned earlier, that they were coming out of Philadelphia. Ours is actually out of Illinois. And so there are two different centers of distribution. So that could be potentially part of the issue, yes.
Thank you, sir. I have no further questions.
All right, any additional questions for Mr. Denton? All right, Mr. Denton, we thank you again for being here with us this morning and appreciate the update. All right, Ms. Sanford, we appreciate your time this morning as well.
Thank you.
Any additional business for the commission this morning? All right, hearing none, we stand adjourned. Let's go off the record, please, ma'am.